Let me play you three kinds of instability. First, music that still belongs to the tonal world, but strains against it. Then, music that no longer behaves as though a key were in charge. Then, music that builds order by means entirely different from key and cadence.
At first hearing, all three may simply sound modern. That word is too blunt to help us much. Because the real question is not whether the music sounds strange. The real question is this: what is organizing it? If key is no longer doing the work, what is? That is our subject. Not modern music as a mood, not difficulty as a badge of honor, but the problem composers faced once the old tonal system no longer seemed sufficient. And the answer, as usual, was not chaos. It was a search for other kinds of order.
Earlier in the course, we followed the loosening of tonal gravity. Mozart gave us a world with clear harmonic center. Chopin saturated that world. Wagner prolonged its tensions. Debussy weakened its hierarchy. Schoenberg stepped into a space where home no longer governed in the old way.
That is where we begin. But this lecture is not about repeating the story of tonality breaking down. It is about what came after, or rather, what came instead.
Once key ceases to organize the whole piece, the music does not become structureless. It begins relying on other principles: interval, motivic cell, symmetry, rhythmic pattern, register, timbre, ordered pitch collections, process.
In tonal music, you are always asking, even unconsciously, where is home? In post-tonal music, that question may lead nowhere useful.
The better questions are these: what intervals keep returning? What shape keeps reappearing? What collection governs the sound? What rhythm or texture provides continuity? What process is unfolding? That is how the ear must adapt. The point of this lecture is not to turn you into a theorist armed with labels. The point is to stop hearing post-tonal music as mere disorientation. It is not a refusal of order. It is an argument about where order lives.
A few terms. Post-tonal.
Music not organized primarily by traditional major-minor tonality. This includes many different languages. It is not one style. Atonality. Music without a stable tonal center. That does not mean random music. It means the old home and away system is no longer in charge. Pitch class. All notes of the same name, regardless of octave. C in one register and C in another belong to the same pitch class. Set. A collection of pitch classes treated as a unit. You do not need the numbered catalog yet. What matters first is hearing a recurring collection as something deliberate. Tone row. An ordered presentation of all 12 pitch classes. In 12-tone composition, the row becomes a source of unity. Serialism. A broader approach in which order is imposed systematically, first on pitch and later, in some composers, on rhythm, dynamics, articulation, and more. Interval class. A way of thinking about the distance between notes as a structural fact. In post-tonal music, intervals often matter more than harmonic function. Symmetry. A structure balanced around an axis or organized through equal divisions. This becomes crucial in Stravinsky, Bartok, and many later composers. Process. A musical logic that unfolds by repetition, accretion, phasing, or gradual change, rather than by tonal departure and return. Let us begin with Schoenberg, because the word atonality attaches itself to him in the public mind, whether that is fair or not. What matters is not to hear Schoenberg as a composer who removed order. He removed one kind of order and sought another. Listen now. Do not ask where the tonic is. That question will only waste your time. Ask instead, what interval keeps returning? What contour keeps insisting on itself? What gesture defines the passage?
That is the first discipline of post-tonal listening. You stop waiting for home. You begin listening for recurrence without return.
The line may still be shaped. The phrase may still breathe. The motif may still cohere. But the old harmonic flaw has been removed.
This is why weak listeners hear only confusion, while stronger listeners begin to hear pressure, interval, shape and design.
Now Berg. Berg matters because he proves that post-tonal music can remain emotionally legible without relying on traditional tonality. He is one of the great bridges.
The violin concerto is the obvious example because it shows how modern harmonic language can still wound, console and remember without returning to the old grammar in any simple way.
Listen now. Do not ask whether the music is tonal or not in some courtroom sense. Ask instead whether the gestures feel expressive, whether intervals recur, whether a lamenting shape returns, whether the sonority of the line carries emotional memory.
This is crucial. Post-tonal does not mean emotionally neutral. It does not mean anti-human. It means that expression has been detached from the old dominant tonic machinery.
Berg can wound without cadence. That is a major historical fact.
Now let us turn to another path. Schoenberg's answer to the exhaustion of tonality is one answer. Stravinsky and Bartok offer others.
In The Rite of Spring, the music often feels organized less by key than by cell, block, rhythm, accent and repetition under pressure.
Listen now to Stravinsky. Do not ask where the cadence is. Ask what is being repeated. What accent pattern governs the energy? What block returns? What cell is being hammered into form?
This is another way of building order without relying on tonal continuity.
Now Bartok.
Bartok often gives you intervallic logic, symmetry, fog-derived patterning, and a modern harmonic language that is neither comfortably tonal nor merely chaotic.
Listen now. Do not listen for pleasant harmony. Listen for axis, balance, recurring intervallic profile, rhythmic spine.
What you are hearing in both composers is this. The center of gravity has shifted. Not disappeared. Shifted.
Order may now reside in rhythm, in cells, in intervallic recurrence, in formal symmetry. That is post-tonal thinking, even when the music has not severed every tie to tonality.
Now we arrive at the 12-tone method. This is where many listeners imagine the music becoming abstract in a dry, bureaucratic way. Sometimes it does. But the important thing, historically, is not dryness. It is discipline. If the tonal world has broken down, one response is not to become looser. One response is to become stricter. That is Schoenberg's wager.
all 12 pitch classes are arranged in an ordered row. The row becomes the source of unity. The piece is no longer in a key. It is governed by a pitch order.
Listen now to a 12-tone passage. Do not try to reconstruct the row by ear. That is not the task. Listen instead for coherence without key. Can you hear that the piece is not wandering at random? Can you feel that it is answerable to something, even if that something is not tonic return?
That is enough for now. The first thing the ear must learn is not row analysis. It is the more basic recognition that non-tonal discipline is still discipline. And from here, the post-war world becomes possible. Serialism, total serialism, and the attempt to organize music through systems more severe than tonality itself.
Now step into the later 20th century, because post-tonal music does not end in one method. Messiaen seeks color, birdsong, rhythm, faith, and harmonic worlds that do not behave like common practice tonality.
Ligeti gives you density, pattern, perceptual instability, and a surface that seems to move without traditional destination. Reich gives you process. Glass gives you accretion. Adams gives you propulsion and inherited tonal energy transformed rather than simply restored.
Listen now to a minimalist or post-minimal passage. Do not ask whether it has come back to tonality. That is too simple. Ask what the process is. What is being added? What is repeating? What has shifted by a small degree? What kind of order is governing duration?
This is one of the most important lessons in the whole lecture. Once tonality ceases to monopolize order, music history does not produce a single replacement. It produces a field of competing answers. System, cell, symmetry, color, process, rhythm, density, memory. That is the real post-tonal world. So how do you make sense of music without keys? Not by pretending it secretly behaves like Mozart, and not by surrendering to the lazy claim that it is all just atmosphere or chaos. You listen differently. You ask, what intervals recur? What shape returns? What collection governs the sound? What rhythm organizes the time? What process is unfolding? What textures or registral decisions create continuity? That is the ear we are building. Tonal hearing asks, where is home? Post-tonal hearing asks, what is the governing logic?
Those are not the same question, but both are forms of serious listening.
This lecture grows directly out of the earlier lectures on harmony, chromaticism, motifs, rhythm, texture, and form. It also sits at the crossroads of several other tracks: the modernist explosion, the Schoenberg versus Stravinsky divide, the post-war world of serialism and total serialism, the minimalist turn, and the advanced rhythm lecture that follows. It also changes how you hear the modernist break. After this, atonal should no longer mean, I do not know what is happening. It should mean, the old system is no longer in charge, so I must listen for another one. Check yourself. I am going to play 4 short excerpts. For each one, do not ask whether you like it.
ask something more useful. What is organizing this passage? Is it interval and contour, rhythmic cell, symmetry, ordered pitch, process or color and registral design? If one excerpt felt coherent without sounding tonal, you may have been hearing intervallic or motivic unity. If one felt driven by blocks, accents, and repeated cells, rhythm may have been the organizing force. If one felt governed by gradual change rather than thematic development, process was likely in charge.
That is enough for now. At this stage, hearing that there is an organizing logic matters more than naming it with perfect precision. Before next time, listen to one Schoenberg or Berg work, one Stravinsky or Bartok work, and one Reich, Glass or Adams work. Do not ask the same question of all three. For Schoenberg or Berg, ask, what intervals, contours or gestures keep returning? For Stravinsky or Bartok, ask, what rhythm, cell or symmetry is governing the music? For Reich, Glass or Adams, ask, what process is unfolding over time?
If you can begin changing the question to fit the musical language, then post-tonal theory has already begun to do its work.